today on Real Radio.
If Jesus be lifted up on the cross, Jesus's comfort was at least this: the whole world will hear about it and have to consider it. They'll have to decide. They will have to choose for themselves what they will do with the cost of sin.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Suffering the Will of God, Part 1, continues now in his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. You know, the Apostle Peter was the disciple who later on became the leader of the first church. Peter's approach to Christianity was to love the way Jesus loves, to speak peace and pursue it, and that our godly convictions are to be expressed with compassion and respect. Suffering the will of God is to have the right attitude about sin, to know that Christ suffered and died so that we're no longer under the heavy cost of sin. Peter wants us to understand that Jesus is our role model and that he approached his sufferings like a warrior approaches a battle. That means that we need to adopt a militant attitude about sin to the point of having a godly hatred for evil. So today on day two of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that in today's world, people want a Gentile Jesus. But suffering the will of God means that Jesus had to literally rescue us from the flames of judgment. Jesus suffered and died a horrible death to save us. And when he armed us with his truth, he set us free from the power of sin. And now in his message called Suffering the Will of God, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
You and I are living in a world today, and God forbid, I'm saying that in a sarcastic way, that churches should address this, because the sad thing is churches want to speak one thing to get a bunch of people in the room. What do you want to do that for? What do you want to get a bunch of people in a room for when they're all SIN positive? I'm SIN positive. Oh no, our church is successful because it's big. That's not the criteria for success. Love, the fruit of the Spirit, righteousness, holiness is the evidence of the Holy Spirit in a saved people. But there's this contaminant called sin, and it comes up alongside you, and it flirts with you, and it convinces you, and then you get softened to it, and then you go right along with it until it leads you into destruction. Now, for the Christian, Satan's plan, he's lost your soul. You're going to go to heaven, so his big plan is to neutralize you. He comes alongside and waters you down into non-existence. So that why? So that you don't affect any other non-believers. You become a fruitless Christian. You're just waiting for the end. That's a bummer. And there's the world that's out there, and Satan's all happy because he's got them completely duped. But then you, please, Lord, as your pastor, I would pray for us. We come along and we say, hey, friend, you know what? Wait a minute. What was that? Or when you hear of this or you learn of this, ma'am, miss, young girl, boy, son, sir, you don't need that. You don't need that. There's a better way. And some people say, don't judge me. You're not going to live my life. Get out of my... They're going to say it. Just remember, you're fighting the invisible scene behind them that has taken them captive. Sin has deceived them. The high cost of sin, it will destroy people. Then there's people that you'll reach out to, and you can see them. It's a God thing. They snap out of it. They're like, wait, what'd you say? You mean what? Jesus died for me? And you've seen that happen. They're awakened to the cost of sin. But I love the fact that Jesus before us is portrayed as a warrior. It says, arm yourselves also with the same mind. Jesus is a warrior against sin. Don't you love that? Now, look, I know many of us have got the Newport Beach version of Jesus. He's got blonde, wavy hair walking along the coast. The seagulls are flying around his head. I know it's supposed to be the Galilee, but it sure looks like Corona Del Mar to me. And he's walking along, and people today, churches today, Christians today, the world today, that's the kind of Jesus they want. Give me the gentle Jesus, meek and mild. And then you open up the Bible and you find out that the Jesus that is in heaven, the Jesus that is coming, is a Jesus that his face is brighter than the sun. His face, his eyes look like flames of fire. The Bible says that when he opens his mouth, it's as though a sharp two-edged sword comes out of his mouth. It's the word of God, and with it, he judges the nations. This is the Jesus of the Bible. Are you stuck in the 2,000 year ago Jesus? Look, we just had the night in Bethlehem here at Christmas time. Are you stuck with baby Jesus? My dear friends, he grew up. He grew up and he suffered for our sins, the innocent for the guilty. He went to the cross. He was brutally beaten and scourged, and his body was mangled for us. And he didn't deserve any of it, but he went there because, listen, God knew the price and the cost of sin. And today we say things like this, well, you know, it's my time, me time. Have you noticed how you've gotten in trouble on me time? Look, we're in the ministry. We talk about people who are now divorcing because he wanted me time. Or she wanted me time. It's just us and the guys. We're going to go away for a weekend. And then 3 months later, they're in the office in a divorce situation. She just wanted to go away because it was a girl time, and it led to one thing, and that guy winked, and he was cute, and they were a long way from home, and who's going to, what stays in Vegas? And it destroys lives. Why? S-I-N. Positive. And we lie to ourselves, and we say, oh, come on, just a little fun. It's deadly, friends. I know I sound like a dinosaur talking about right now, but it's deadly. And it cost Jesus his life to give you a better way. Suffering the will of God means this. It's the best thing for your life to have the will of God in control of you. He loves you more than you love you, and he loves you rightly. He wants the best for you. The Bible tells us in Jude chapter 1, verse 22, Jude 1, 22, and you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Think of that. Do you know anybody whose faith is wavering? The Bible says, be merciful to them. Listen to the next group, verse 23. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Wow. How do you do that? Well, first of all, in the family of God, I'm going to make this up. Clark, can I pick on you? I'm going to pick on you, Clark, because I love you so much. So let's say I find out Clark's goofing off. He shouldn't be doing this. And I hear about it. What should I do? Get a club? Go over to his house and beat him up? Do I pray and go to him alone privately and say, Clark, you know I love you. You know I love you. Dude, and I'm telling you right now. Is it true what I heard? Yeah, man, I'm messing up. Okay, buddy, listen. Together, we're going to pull you away from this. And I need you to give me the permission that if you kick and scream, you're going to, it's just tough, okay? All right, Jack, I know you love me. Let's do it. The Bible says I've just saved my brother from a lot of peril. Rescue them. Every one of us as believers have someone in our lives that we ought to rescue. When we have a low view of God and a tolerant view of sin, we don't get involved in their lives. We just turn away. We know they're messing up, but oh, you know, I'll pray for them. No, did you know that God brought the situation to your attention so that you would reach out to them in mercy and that you'd go rescue them? This is church. This is Christianity, friends. And then he goes on to say, look at this. He says to show mercy to still others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. Did you hear that? Does it say hating the sinner that has sinned the sins? No, it says hating the sin that has contaminated them. If you love them, then you're going to act in love toward them. No New Testament church like Walter Martin. Anybody remember Walter Martin from yesteryear? We need him back. Walter Martin said, Christianity's the only one that shoots its own wounded. What's the matter? What? You backslid? You're walking in sin, brother? Get over here. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to restore the one that has fallen. Now, granted, they have got to repent of their sin. They've got to say, yes, Jack, I got blindsided. Help me out. Oh, dear, listen, Christian, listen up. You're not going to like this. It's pure truth. If you don't, listen, you can hate me. It's okay. But what I'm about to say, don't hate it because it's the word of God. Watch this. When the Bible says some that we know of sin, if we go to them alone privately, don't tell anybody else, you go to them privately, you say, hey man, come on, I want to rescue you out of this thing. If they'll listen to you, you've won your brother, right? What if they don't listen to you? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, then you take another godly brother with you. Another one, not the internet, not Facebook. You don't go there and you know, Instagram live. Hey, I'm going to watch this. I'm going to rebuke my brother. What are you, crazy? You're sinning. It's a private thing. You go to them and you try to get them out. And if they refuse, the Bible says, take it to the authority of the church. And if they refuse the authority of the church, listen, listen, Christian. Listen, if you're a Christian and you have a brother and sister who will not turn from their sins, you're not supposed to go out with them hoping that you're going to lead them back to Jesus. Oh, I know we're going to go to a strip bar, but he's backslidden and I don't want him to get in any trouble. So I'm going to go with him. I'll be strong, sweetheart. It said, be cautious. You think I'm making this stuff up, do you? So, he won't turn. She won't turn. What does the Bible say to do? It says, treat them like a non-believer and do not eat a meal with them again. Because, you know, that's a big deal, eating a meal. We drive through. We don't care anymore. We just, boom. And get a taco. In that culture, to sit down at a table with someone and to eat was to become one with them. And the Bible says, stop eating with them, cut them off. Why? Because all of a sudden, the righteous brothers and sisters who love them and he won't listen become a living parable to them. They say with broken heart, dude, listen, we love you. We're going to be fasting and praying for you, but we cannot fellowship with you any longer. It breaks our heart. Look, it says right here, and you know what the Bible says? We are not even supposed to eat with you anymore, and we're supposed to turn you out like a non-believer. You should say that with tears. And you walk away from them. You say, I could never do that. If you love them, you will. Because it's a living parable to the sinner to realize, oh my gosh, they walked out on me. Uh-huh, so did God. He turned his back on you. You're his, but he's not listening. You're his, but he's not blessing. Are you with me? You have, in a sense, duct-taped God's mouth shut, and you've covered his eyes because of your sin. He will not look upon that, and you may belong to him, and you will wind up in heaven, but boy, are you going to make your life rough. And God is silent. And then he tells you, the believer who loves that sinning one, to act the same way that God has acted. I'm not going to eat with him. Neither shall you. And this is basic New Testament Christianity. And to show you how far the church has fallen from that, what I'm saying to many people today think this is strange. And yet it's the most loving thing you can do, but you're going to be hated and rejected and mocked. I can't believe it. You see, it comes because we have a very, very low view of sin. It's not that big of a deal. It is a big deal. Jesus armed himself. And the Bible says, so should we. Are you ready? Want to write some things down? You're going to want to hang on. And I hope, I pray that this comes across right. Beginning with this passage, John 12, 31. Jesus says, now is the judgment of this world. The ruler of this world will be cast out. Church, who's he talking about? Satan. Verse 32. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, that's a reference to crucifixion. That's how they said it in those days. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all peoples, Jew and Gentile alike, to myself. This he, Jesus said, signifying by what death he would die. Crucifixion. So Jesus says, number one, regarding attitude and cost of sin and how we should look at it, Jesus says, I'm going to be lifted up from the earth. And here's the awesome thing about it. Because I'm going to be lifted up from the earth on a cross, all the world will be invited to look at me. Listen, everyone. All the world will have to consider me. All the world will have to hear about my invitation. This is a remarkable statement. I cannot stress it enough. If Jesus be lifted up on the cross, Jesus' comfort was at least this. The whole world will hear about it. and have to consider it. They'll have to decide. They will have to choose for themselves what they will do with the cost of sin. Jesus was armed with the truth, and he told them in advance. Then he tells them to go preach that message. In Luke chapter 10, verse 17, it says, then the 70 disciples, the 70 returned with joy. They had been out on a short-term mission outreach, and they said to Jesus, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said to them, what an awesome statement. Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. What do you think of that? I think that's awesome. Hey, Jesus, we had a great trip. You know what? I saw Satan fall. Imagine, in the world, behind the physical scenes. Are you guys listening? Behind the physical world was the invisible world. And Jesus is saying, while those of you were out ministering the truth of the gospel to an unbelieving world, while you were doing it, I saw Satan fall from heaven. He lost his footing. Satan. Think of that for a moment. Don't tell me. Listen, I'm going to share something with you. If you don't believe it, don't tell me, because I love it. I believe every time you and I pray, witness, do the right thing, love one another, hate sin, be a light. In my mind, I see Satan getting punched in the face. I see a knee going straight to his chest. I see fur flying, teeth breaking off. Listen, you think I'm kidding? When I'm praying behind there with the worship team, I'll often say, Lord, bless these worship leaders. When they hit their guitars, may lightning come out of their guitars in the spirit realm. And when they worship the Lord, Lord, just break Satan's teeth off right in his mouth. Why not? Amen. Jesus said, I saw him fall from heaven. Whenever you and I do the right thing, Satan gets punched in the face. I like that. So having said that, please listen. You're going to have to make a decision to love the person because God loves them and to rescue them, or to get confused with the sin and that person's eternal identity. Don't do that. You need to separate them. Here we go. Here's a test. Are you ready? See if you can handle it. Ephesians 5, verse 3. Let there be no sexual immorality or impurity or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Well, that's about 85% of the internet. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Stop right there, leave it on the screen. Worshiping the things of this world. Think of that. You say, Jack, why think of it? I'm good. But are you? Am I? Are there things that I have to have? Are there things that you have to have, or else you kind of feel like less of a you? What about clothes? What about money in your pocket? Do you feel somehow safer that you have a $100 bill in your pocket? That could be good or bad. This sounds so, listen, it's just us here right now. I'm going to tell you, for my birthday gift, I told you, I got that incredible gift to go drive a race Porsche on a racetrack. Do you know what was so stupid about it? The car was anywhere from $185,000 to $220,000. I had it for an hour and a half. Is that car within my reach to own? No. I know that. But after driving it, literally, don't tell anybody, but I have a Ford SUV truck. But since that car, a 911 GT3, I'm driving this truck and I'm going. And I'm just going to Walgreens. You say, what are you saying? Just the thought of it got in me. the feel of it, the speed of it. I'm dealing with it. I'm getting over it. It was awesome. But didn't Moses say, for example, sin is pleasurable for a season? That wasn't a sin, what I was doing, but I was reminded of how easily the things of the world can get inside. And then you start fantasizing about it. My. I wonder what it would be like if. You see? Having that statement, let's keep reading that verse. Verse 6, don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do. Galatians 5, verse 19, Galatians 5, 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, notice what the Bible says. He's talking to Christians. Don't follow the desires of your sinful nature. You have this sinful nature, and it has desires. Suffer the will of God. What does that mean? Tell it to go back. Get in the back seat. But I want this. Sit down. I want to do this. No, we're not. The Christian should always be talking to himself. The Christian should always be preaching to himself. We should look like lunatics in the world. What's that? No, don't you dare. Get back there. Stand still. Repent. You know. The results are very clear. Sexual immorality. Simply this, sex outside of marriage. You want to have sex? Get married. It's the way God made it. It's the way he wired it. Okay? Impurity. Lustful pleasures. That's any kind of lust. Anything. Idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions. That's wars among each other. Divisions, envy, drunkenness, wild parties. The word is orgies. And other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I told you before, that anyone living that sort of a life will not inherit the kingdom of God, will not be in heaven. Now listen, are you hearing my heart? If this is you, by the way, this used to be me. And the people around you that would be honest, they would say, well, okay, yeah, you know, you just said 11 of them, I'm 8 of them. Whatever you were, we were brought out of it. We did it and loved it and planned on doing it more, and then God came into our lives, and then we struggled with it, and then we had to forsake it. Because he showed us a more excellent way. His way of love and acceptance. It's like, oh my gosh, you mean I was giving myself around town to get accepted? And God says, I accept you. Really? Well then, forget that stuff. Are you with me? It's amazing.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Suffering the Will of God, Part 1. Thanks so much for joining us today. And let's constantly remind ourselves to stay focused on our faith and avoid that sin that can so easily get a hold of us. Suffering the Will of God, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through some great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us to this day. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, just a quick reminder that Pastor Jack has his own YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. It's a great way to stay up to date on world events, catch some sermons and Bible studies, including 1 Peter. The episodes that you might have missed will be right there, or you can be a part of what's going on right here in California. We'd also like to encourage you to join the thousands who've already subscribed to Pastor Jack's channel. And be sure to click on the notifications button for new videos that he's recently uploaded. You can access Pastor Jack's YouTube channel through YouTube or at the website called jackhibbs.com. Once again, that's Real Life with Jack Hibbs YouTube channel at jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.